Blog Talk Radio.
To know you better. See you kinda busy, so I guess I'll send a letter. If the letter don't work, then I guess I'll approach it. If you can't socialize, I guess I'll coach you. Cause Jimin is far from the average knucklehead. I don't wanna spend most of my time in bed. But in case I have to get hard, I get hard like lead. And the proof is in the pudding, that's what my mom said.
Baby,
and as you did, I
need your mind when I'm
gone. I just wanna be. I just wanna be. Girl, I just wanna be.
G-Man ain't no first thing.
I just wanna be.
No matter what state, I put you in good hands just like all state. I'm winding down, we eating on fine plate. I treat you like a superstar, line with no weight. You like good time, let's just push rewind. Sipping good wine, my game not denied. We live in the sky, the haters live on the ground. No sex rules up in the clouds, ow.
Baby, I stayed away too long.
And as you did,
crib, yeah, get nasty. I'm a cowboy, you a big girl. Take a round trip, just a rocket world. Like shake, wobble, wobble, shake, shake, boy, your mama. Don't need a bag, shopping spree, the Bahamas. Roll with a king, it don't cost you a dollar. Eat that candy, watch it bust, pinata.
Baby, I stayed away too long.
Huh. And as you
did, I need your mind when I was gone.
I just wanna be.
You go, we always together. In the third semester like the nutty professor. I know you're kinda shy, I'll be the aggressor. Power couple pimps and get the most, not the lesser.
Cap,
you say you like my delivery. Cold ass pimp and I still got chivalry. Cap pillar, the thrill in Manila. Silverback gorilla, still put it in your liver, girl.
Baby, I stayed away too long.
Huh. And as you did,
hello, everyone. Listening to the Queen of Show Talk, Angela Butler. Today we have a special guest, Mr. Jimmy Daltrey from Alabama, Dothan, Alabama. He's originally from Opelika, Alabama. How are you doing this afternoon?
Good afternoon, Angela. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right.
That's great.
I've heard
well,
your
it's
voice
the holiday period.
On the radio. I've heard your voice for years on the radio.
Well, I've been doing it for a long time, Angela, no doubt about that, through several states, and it's been my calling, so to speak.
I believe that. So you're originally from Opelika, am I correct?
You're absolutely correct. Opelika is the county seat of Lee County in the state of Alabama. In fact, originally in the early 60s, my first day in radio was August 18th, 1963. I wasn't a teenager yet. I wouldn't become a teenager until that October. My original stint was at WAOA WFRI, on City Lake Road in Opelika, Alabama. It was Faulkner Radio Incorporated.
Okay. So are you college educated?
I won't say I'm college educated, but I did go to college. As a matter of fact, in 1968, in fall quarter of 1968, although Auburn University was integrated in 1965, there was a graduate student named Harold Williams, who was the first African-American on campus at Auburn University. Actually, the undergraduates didn't come in until 68, and we were basically the guinea pigs of integration. And what would happen, I would, you know, marinate with the people there at Auburn. And so we came in 68, the class with the first African-American athlete there, who was Henry Harris out of Oberlin, Alabama. And, of course, the next year, of course, James Owens, who was the first football player, came in. But Henry was the first athlete, being a basketball player. He came in with the class of me in 1968. I was the first graduate of Opelika High School that was African-American, and that was in 68 as well, maybe 3 to 4 weeks prior to Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. being assassinated in Memphis, Tennessee at the Lorraine Motel. So these were trying times. These were the 60s, the civil rights era, and we all went through that. But I've been there, done that. That was a part. And all during that period, however, I was in the media. So I was engulfed into a couple of things at one time. And that's a story probably for another day, but I wanted to share it with your audience.
Yes, yes. Thank you for that. Thank you for that, Mr. Daughtry. So how many radio stations have you
Don't go there. They are too numerous to mention. I'll mention a few of them. I mean, but basically right now, I am general manager, of WKCG 99.1 FM in Dothan, Alabama, under the auspices of the Ordinary People Society, a nonprofit organization that was founded by Reverend Al Sharpton's brother, Reverend Kenneth Sharpton Glasgow. You obviously know that Reverend Al Sharpton's parents were from Dothan, Alabama. As a matter of fact, a few years back, I attended the funeral for his mom, Miss Addie Lee, of course, and that was outside of Dothan. And, well, it's all part of the same type of thing I've been talking about with respect to media and the civil rights being hand in hand at that time. That was just a sign of the times, to say the least. But in my guise, I am general manager of WKCG 99.1 FM, Dothan, Alabama. I'm also operations manager of WJJN 92.1 Jams in Dothan, Alabama, which incidentally is celebrating 30 years as a federally licensed broadcasting entity in Dothan, Alabama this year. We're celebrating it from June 5th of 2021 to June 5th of 2022, and we are proud of that milestone achievement. And, of course, I'm also operations manager of WAGF 1320 AM, WAGF 101.3 FM, WDSA 93.9 FM. And I'm production director, my voice giving out on me here, it's been a long holiday, production director of WJGN TV 20 and its 5 affiliates in Dothan, Alabama, which effectively create a network all under the auspices of Wilson Media Group, LLC Radio and Television in Dothan, Alabama. WKCG is located at 805 North Lena / Oates at Dothan, Alabama for Global Positioning Systems. And, of course, WJJN, its affiliates, are located at 4106 Ross Clark Circle, all housed inside the Dothan Convention Center. So hopefully that'll bring you up to date. Now, as far as the stations that I've been, I'll just give you a few of them. Probably a lot of people know me from WFDR in Manchester, Georgia, the 100,000 water that affected Atlanta, Georgia, Fort Valley, Columbus, and an immense area back in the 60s. After that, I had a stint there at WJZ 96.3, the Georgia Giant in Albany, Georgia. And, of course, that was back in the early 70s, right on up until the early 80s. And it was 100,000 watt as well. Excuse me. I left there and I went to WGIV in Charlotte, North Carolina, the Queen City. And, of course, later WPG, which at that time was in Concord, North Carolina, but it's now in Charlotte. I've been at several stations, KAP in San Antonio, been all over the United States. You know, that's this musical chairs, basically, when you're talking about radio announcers. They move from here to there wherever an opportunity arises or whether they can better themselves. But eventually, I made the spin back home, and I became program director of WRJ there in Ozark, Alabama, later became WNER. During that time, in 1983, I had some announcers like Daryl Elliott, Daryl E., Virgil K., Tony Black, Bryant Corbett, some of those guys. And so they're pretty well known in our area now. And they've been in radio a long time as well. They are the veterans now. I'm just the old geezer. But that's just a little bit of the history of myself in radio. It's still ongoing.
You're not
just
an old
geezer.
You're a very talented, intelligent man.
Well, I don't know about intelligence. I'm just a country DJ. But the thing of it is, I just got off the air a few minutes ago, and I was rushing to make this engagement because you just stood out as someone. I'm looking at the history of what you're doing, and it inspired me because I had a similar stint, and I had a similar condition, and I had a similar route, should I say, into going where I'm going, and I can see that in you. So that's the reason that I'm granting an interview. I very seldom do, and for obvious reasons, but. Because, you know, being in the position that I am, I have to be very careful. You know, you're between a rock and a hard place, and there are no gray areas in what I'm doing.
No, I understand that. And thank you for the compliment.
Well, no, it's just an actuality. It wasn't a big compliment. This is the way I see it. You're doing a great job.
Thank you. Thank you. I've been at this over 11 years.
You're a pro now, no doubt about that.
Yes, sir. So how did you celebrate Juneteenth?
Well, Juneteenth, actually, believe it or not, as you probably know, because I've shared some of those contacts with you, I was in constant contact there with my White House sources, credible sources, not only April with White House Press Corps, but also, you know, Angela Lowe there, director of African-American media there at the White House. And, of course, that has been in existence for some time, but Angela's taken it to a new level because of her youth, and she's just got that vibrancy, you know, that go get it. You know, but go get up and get them. You know, she just inspires me so much, although she likes to, how does she say it? She says, oh, yeah, I want to work like a termite behind the scenes. So I said, whatever. And my thing of it is, and I said, Erica, you're Angela, I mean Erica, but I always refer to it by a nickname that I won't refer to on this radio program because it's in-house, but
okay.
Erica Lowe, Erica, L-O-E-W-E, is director of African American media there at the White House under the Joe Biden administration, the current president of the United States of America. And, of course, during the time when all of this was transpiring, there was also an event taking place in Dothan, Alabama, which was the first which was for us an historic event that was taking place as we were doing our first Juneteenth celebration. In that aftermath, the same week as we were approaching it, the president on Thursday signed that bill that this young lady, this vibrant congressperson there out of the state of Texas, happened to get through, whose last name is Jackson, the first name is Sheila. Hey, Sheila, you know I love you, but Sheila Jackson out there. She got the bill passed, and she's a hard worker, civil rights icon, to say the least. And I often speak with Ashley Sharpton, who is the niece of Reverend L. Sharpton there with the National Action Network there. And I just, you know, she's a youth director, and they all speak so highly of her. And I know John Lewis, prior to his death, did as well. You know, Martin Luther King used to call John the boy from Troy. But actually, he was from outside of Troy. His home was between what's called Banks and Sanko, trying to give you some historical perspective of the, you know, the geographics of where all of this is located.
Yes.
So that's how it all the story comes together, because you have to do your radio programs according to the region that you're in. And although I've been all over the place as far as radio, I've been most proud of radio stints here in Dothan, Alabama, and in Albany, Georgia, for a couple of reasons, and both being Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. wasn't able to accomplish anything in Dothan, Alabama, because the Interdenominational Mysterious Alliance wouldn't let him come. They were afraid of what might happen, because it was just like that at that time. in Albany, Georgia. They tricked him when he came down from Atlanta to do this, told him they would do this and do that. And so I thought that by doing long stints and maybe creating some type of atmosphere to make people recognize what was going on and how we can accomplish things through perseverance, persistence, that couldn't be done quickly. It's not an overnight fix that I might be able to accomplish something. Even Reverend Martin Luther King Jr., who had the occasion to talk with many times there when my grandfather was 33rd degree Mason, Reverend Robert Daughtry, a 33rd degree Mason, and he also was a armed service veteran of some 35 years. He also was a Shriner, so we used to go to what was called Easter Sunrise Service at Logan Hall in Tuskegee, Alabama, and they had speakers like Reverend Martin Luther King Jr., Julian Bond, Ralph Abernathy, Roy Wilkins, and many, many others that are historical when you look back at it. But for me, I was just there. I didn't know it was historical at the time, but as time has elapsed, I do realize the significance. And I want you to realize that you are making your own history as you speak. And it's better that you don't know it, because you'd be in awe and might not be able to matriculate the way that you should be able to do so. I'm not going to go on and on and on. It's your program.
Okay.
Your interview.
I was enjoying listening to you. Okay, so you're a namesake. I mean, I've heard you on the radio for so many years. You have a very nice voice. I'd like to know something.
Uh-huh.
Have you ever considered, I know there are like 5 or 6 television stations, but are you on the air? Do you have shows on the television stations there at Wilson Broadcasting?
Angela, I've done television programs all over everywhere. See, my thing about it is this. We as African-Americans, and not just African-Americans, people of color and minority, we have to, a lot of people, it's a walk of glory in me. Oh, I'm this or that, in front of that camera, which is okay. And I'm good with that. But the actual people who make a difference are those who are behind the cameras, or the programmers, those who make the managerial decisions each and every day. They're the wheels that make this thing spin. Of course, I've done radio programs and television programs in Dover. I've done television programs. I've been on programs with the historical Ann Barnum at WTBY, her and Teresa Thomas, with the morning program there at WTBY. I've also done my own programs on WDHN, the ABC affiliate in Dover, several television programs. But now I'm in the position of authority. Well, I'm the production director of 6 television stations, so I can basically determine the programming content and you know, the feasibility of when something should air, when it shouldn't. So to me, that means more than being in front of a television camera. I always say I've got the perfect face for radio, and everybody laughs. But I say it facetiously, but there's a method to my madness. I'll just put it that way.
Okay. I understand what you're saying. So when I talked to you, I believe it was either yesterday or today, you were interviewing, I believe you said, the nephew of Reverend Al Sharpton?
Well, actually, I'm general manager of a radio station. Matter of fact, it's WKCG 99.1 FM Dothan. If you want to pull us up on the web, on the World Wide Web, the Internet, you can go to www.weartops.org, WEARETOPS.ORG. We play quartet gospel music. We have talk programs that include Reverend Al Sharpton's younger brother, Pastor Kenneth Sharpton, Glasgow. This program is called It's Raw. Rodrisha Russo, who is the vice chair of the Southeastern Alabama Democratic Conference, has a television program as well, and a radio program as well, should I say. And also, there are many other talk programs involved in that, but I constantly network with Pastor Kenneth Sharpton Glasgow, who is the founder of the Ordinary People Society. Matter of fact, Mother's Day weekend, his brother was down with us per usual on the 20th year anniversary of this organization called the Ordinary People Society. And that's, of course, you know his brother, it's Reverend Al Sharp, and we had a great time per usual, and he was the keynote speaker. So we've got a close relationship with the Sharpton family because that's his family, you know what I mean? So basically the way that works. Rather than an interview, you kind of like on an elbow rubbing thing there. But that's the way it should
be. Yeah, you're treating
it. Yeah, no doubt.
You're treating Yes, sir. So Rev. Al Sharpton has been busy. I guess you have too. how do you feel about the killing here in America?
Well,
in
Let me mention someone else that's a very good friend. And not only a very good friend, he is my fraternity brother and the legal representative for my frat. Might I mention that at Auburn University in 1973, I was a member of the first African-American line on the campus of a white university there, Auburn University in Alabama, and we had our own line in 1973. That was Omega Psi Phi, the first African-American fraternity at Auburn University was Omega Psi Phi. Many others have followed since, and I thank God for that. Excuse me. But four of us still remain living, and one being lead dog, Rob Robinson, Colonel Sidney Brewer was the two dog. Percy Ross from Atlanta was the three dog, and I was the four dog. We were the ones that remained through the many that tried, and we got through that. This guy who is the legal representative for our fraternity, his name is Attorney Benjamin Crump. Have you ever heard of him?
Yes, I have.
Okay,
yes,
well, if
yes.
you haven't, he was Trayvon's. He was Trayvon's.
He helped.
Yeah, Trayvon
Martin,
Deanna, George
Floyd.
Yeah.
Yeah, yes, sir. I'm glad.
Yeah,
that
he's a good. That's my frat. That's my frat. Matter of fact, just to bring it into perspective, a few months back he had come on the behest of one of his proteges there, Attorney Drake Gilbert, who is perhaps one of the most renowned young attorneys in the country. He's spoken at Harvard University, everywhere. I mean, the Ivy League colleges, and he's well known from the area. And of course, we were bringing in the frat, and I was the MC for that occasion with Attorney Benjamin Crump, and he was also promoting his book. But Attorney Benjamin Crump is a bulwark standing almost every civil rights case that you hear about killing, about police brutality, about that part. The attorney for the civil proceedings is probably going to be Benjamin Crump. He's the most high-profile lawyer with civil rights in the United States of America and abroad.
Yes, I believe that. He's helped so many people. He's helped so many people. I just wonder sometimes, though, if he wish it could be different, you know? That it
well,
wasn't,
you know,
wasn't so
my
many
grand,
people
my,
being killed.
Yeah, well, my grandfather used to say something that always resonated well with me. He said, you can wish in one hand. I'm not going to tell you what he said you could do in the other and see which one filled up quicker. But it has nothing to do with what our internal wishes are. It has to do with the work that we put forth to change the landscape of the country. And that's what we are bound to do if we are serious about it. And Benjamin has that. Al has that. Hopefully I have a small touch of that. And that's what we do on a continuous
you
basis.
You have a big touch of that. You were the first to do a lot of things, and I did not know that about you. You're the first to do a whole lot of things.
Well, that's just something that, to be honest with you, a lot of those things maybe I didn't want to do, but it's just I was a victim of the time. You know what I mean? And like right now, with respect to things that are going on, you're thrust into the moment. So you can either you deal with it or you can run from it. And I chose to deal with it throughout my life. But you know the reason I've been able to survive and sufficiently. I've got a strong Yeah, I got a strong belief in Jesus the Christ. I've been a crusader for a long time, and once a crusader, always a crusader, and he can do anything but faith. So if you got that belief, faith of a mustard seed, you can endure and you can persevere.
I believe that. That's something my mother tells me. So do you have any children?
Yes, I have two children, both boys. One, Timmy Jordan, he calls himself Opelika, so it's like a junior. As a matter of fact, he's probably doing more things in the itinerant disco phase in southwest Georgia, southeast Alabama, northwest Florida probably than I did back in my day, because I had to divide it up between that and radio. And I'm so proud of him. And then another son, Robert Jamel Doctrine. And, of course, he's younger than Timmy. Timmy is 45. And of course, my son Robert is 41. I'm young. No, they can't be 45 and 41. I'm just 27. Oh, my God. That's a biological impossibility.
Okay. All right. So if you had some young people that you could talk to and they were asking you questions about the business, what would be one of the things that you would say to them that you feel would be most helpful?
Okay. Well, the first thing I would say to them is, not just with this business, but with any business, the number one thing is you have to show up in a timely fashion. See, radio doesn't operate on the premise, that a lot of other organizations or jobs operate on. When that news comes down at 10 minutes till, if I'm 3 seconds late, I've missed my cue for the news. So they should take that same ethic, that same work ethic, when they're going to work. My grandfather told me it's better to wait than to be too late. The other part of it is you have to want to be like a sponge, you insatiable quench for knowledge. Yeah, I mean, that should be the thing that drives you, whatever you do. And don't be afraid to ask questions. There are no stupid questions. Now, my granddaddy said there are no stupid questions. He said there might be stupid people asking questions, which he was just probably teasing me. But don't be afraid to ask. Don't be afraid of the moment. And just wish to excel. That's what I always try to tell you anyway.
Okay. All right. So what are you doing this 4th of July?
Well, for the 4th of July, I've just enjoyed myself. This morning, I was in there editing stuff for our television stations. Last night, I was downloading music for our radio stations. Today, I actually finished up with my television broadcasting just in time to do my radio program, which I got off at 2 o'clock. And they at one station gave me a chance to rush to the other station and do an interview with the one and only Angela Butler. So that's how my 4th has gone so far.
Okay, you've been working. Okay, somebody better give you a barbecue plate.
Well, that would be great. But you know what I always say as far as, you know, like PC, you need to get more rest because I've been in and out of the hospital here on a couple of occasions. And a matter of fact, here's a story that probably I shouldn't say anything about, but a couple of weeks ago, because I had been in the hospital, in the critical care unit in a hospital there in Dopen on a couple of occasions, my son and my daughter-in-law and a couple of my grandchildren came to see me. I couldn't stop them. They were coming to see me. And they came down to see me. They came by the radio stations. We had a great time, and they left and went back. And when they went back, they were involved in a head-on collision accident. I buried my daughter-in-law last Saturday. So what I'm trying to caution people of, especially, I'm more mindful of the fact now than probably ever more because of that recent action. But over these 4th of July holidays, please, please, especially where inclement conditions might prevail, drive according to conditions, even if it's below posted speed limits. If you drink, don't drive. If you drive, don't drink. And just watch out for the other guy. He might not be watching out for you. you know, because at any time a tragedy could happen, like just transpired in my family.
I'm sorry. I know you've been grieving, you and your family.
It's like my word, Becca, as far as the grieving part, we were actually rejoicing because Tamika Jordan is in a better place. You're supposed to grieve when you come in the world, and you rejoice when you leave. See, it's not about birth. It's not about death, but that dotted line in between. People so many times get on me about, you've been sick, and you know you were 70 last year. You better slow down. I say, as the French would say, au contraire, I beg to differ. You know, the good book says 3 score 10. It doesn't take a rocket scientist if you believe in the good book. So now's the time to really work. I can sleep when I'm dead.
Yes, sir. Tomorrow is what I tell myself. Tomorrow isn't promised to anyone, so live for today.
Well, you know what tomorrow's I always not... say? Maybe I just go off maybe the wrong way. But tomorrow is promised. It's just that we might not see it. So, it's like the thing about the Cyclops when he could see into the future, but he could only see as far as his death. That's where his future ended. You know, you got potato, potato. And that's why I say I've always been an extreme optimist. I said the glass is half full rather than half empty. And so hopefully, you know, with the divisiveness that is going on in this country and with what's going on now, you know, it's time for us to pull together and it's time to work. And the old saying is, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. It's time for the tough to get going right now.
Yes, there's divisiveness in this country. And I know that one day in this country it won't be like this.
I think it won't be this way, too, because of, you know, talented young people like yourself and Erica Lowe there in the White House and Ashley Sharpton with the National Action Network and many, many more, too numerous to mention, like Rodricia Russo, the Ordinary People's Society, those who work in grassroots in the antebellum South, what I refer to as the dirty, dirty, the states of like Alabama and Mississippi, the things that are happening in Georgia and in Florida. This has always been the heyday and the hey place, so it hasn't changed. And you just roll up your sleeves and you go to work. And the one who works the hardest, the one who reaps the reward.
Yes, sir. Yeah, Florida is a lot of people didn't know that Florida was as racist as it is. All they think about is Disney World, but it is.
Yes,
it is.
Well, you know what I told, we had a meeting one time. I went from Alabama, I think it was outside of Jackson. Actually, it was outside of Jackson, Mississippi. I think it was Vicksburg, Mississippi. We had people from all over of the United States to talk about civil rights, great, you know, African-American people to talk about. That was this guy who came from Texas, an oil guy who was putting, you know, pretty good money into this to help us with what we were trying to do. So we were trying to be cognizant of that fact and not, you know, irk his ire, I'll just put it that way. But he said something, he said, I understand they're still lynching you guys down here in Mississippi and Alabama. And I couldn't help it. I said, well, the only difference between Mississippi, Alabama, and Texas is larger and has more trees.
Yeah, that's true. It's like that everywhere.
So it's not a state-to-state thing. It's not Florida. It's not Georgia. It's not Alabama. It's even in Massachusetts and Vermont. It's everywhere. And it has to be eliminated with some of the effort from everywhere. And you know, once you start thinking that it isn't this way here and it isn't that this way here, you're absolutely wrong. But we can do better because it's a generational thing. And, you know, when you're talking about something that is deeply rooted as this is, it takes time and you just have to persevere. And there are good people out there on both sides as well as bad people on both sides. But I always say the cream rises to the top.
That's true. That is so true. But I just believe that my grandchildren will not, maybe their children, it won't be like this. Because at some point, it's going to be with the younger generations that are coming and who are seeing the murders and things. I know racism is taught, but I believe when my grandchildren have children, that it would have changed a whole lot by then, by the time they're 18.
Well, I've seen it change. I've seen it change so much within my lifetime. And I know that to be true. The reason being, see, we didn't have the advantage of Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or Fleet or any of the social media outlets there. So now things that are happening, they're recorded not just on television where Uncle Walter Cronkite has to wait to tell you on CBS, but you can see it immediately. You know, so events unfold in real time anywhere in the world. So it's changed the perspective. And the George Floyd situation probably was the one that brought it to fruition, but there have been many more since. Mimicking Emmett Till, a similar situation, different generations. So it's the technology that has brought it to the forefront more so than anything else. And see, the technology will continue to get better and better and better, even if the racism doesn't. So it'll expose it more and more. And then it will depend on human nature. It's always been a thing. I remember when going into the philosophy of religion and all of that stuff, when it says, is man essentially good or is man essentially depraved? And it's for us as a human race to determine.
Yes.
Hey, Angela,
I
promised to grant you the interview. I've got some television
duties that I have coming up here in the next two to three minutes.
No, it's okay. Fine. I've enjoyed it, and it's been a holiday weekend. But I want to say to your listening audience, I very seldom grant interviews because I try to, I'm supposed to be an even-keeled person. I was taught when I was coming up in journalism and in radio, in the media, there was no Ted Turner on the left and Rupert Murdoch on the right. We thought yellow journalism was despicable. We simply reported the news as it was and let the chips fall where they may. It's a different story now. So I just wanted to make sure that I was able to be there for you because I respect so much what you do. I'm just a country DJ, and obviously I don't know anything about all these things that are occurring other than the people that I rub elbows with. But I'm going to say it's been a pleasure being on your show today, and I'm not going to grant very many interviews in the aftermath of it. But hopefully I've opened somebody's eyes somewhere. And thanks so very much for having me as a guest on Angela Butler's program today.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate
it. Have a great day.
And you're welcome back. Happy 4th of July weekend.
Happy 4th to you and your audience as well.
Yes, thank you. Say thank you, too. All right, everyone. You've listened to Mr. Jimmy Daltrey. He's from Dothan, Alabama. He has been a DJ for a very long time. He's more than a DJ. He's much more than a DJ. Don't let his humbleness fool you. He's actually kind of a legend. You want to hear the truth about it, but he's very humble. I don't know if he realizes this, but he's actually a legend. But I thank you for listening to the Queen of Show Talk, Angela Butler, and I hope to talk to you all again. Happy 4th of July.